You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, what's better than Pigskin and Pals? Adding a Browns alumni to the mix. I know there really isn't, but we can make it better. We're going to add a Browns alumni to the mix. Get to your Cleveland area Arby's and find out how to enter and win lunch with a Browns alumni and a guest. Arby's, slicing up freshness. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura of Football Tuesday. We've promised you this new segment, which will now be called from here on out after further review, and our own Dave DiNatale, our outstanding producer. This is his show here. He's going to basically give us questions to answer. We'll answer them, and let's see where this goes.
Yeah, now, we will have I couldn't get the official, you know, the officials are apparently, they've got the off day on Tuesdays as well, so
right.
I couldn't get my official to come in here and blow the flag. So for today, only for today, we'll use the tried and true fact or fiction for between questions, because it's essentially the same thing here. But,
right.
Yeah, so we'll start with this.
Fact or fiction?
All right, guys.
I like that, though. I like that voice. That's good.
That's,
all right, go ahead.
Buffy. Say hi to Buffy.
Hi, Buffy.
Hi, Buffy.
All right. The Browns should have made a stronger play for either Josh Freeman or Matt Flynn.
Fiction. Matt Flynn, please. The guy was so bad he got cut after a game against the Redskins. Josh Freeman, I think, puts you in a very similar boat to where you are right now. A guy who may have some potential, is somewhat flawed, has been around the league, and he's not their guy. This organization wants to draft their guy, so fiction. They should not have made a strong play for either Josh Freeman or Matt Flynn.
Fiction. Matt Flynn has had an amazing life of collecting paychecks for basically doing nothing in the NFL. And you can't even
say
he's a clipboard holder. He's been gaining revenue from promise, and a lot of it from just the promise and then disappointment. And yet people keep going back to that well. I guess I understand what the Bills were thinking there, because hopefully it's just driven by the injury that Thaddeus Lewis suffered more than it is by the idea that they're going to do better with this guy, because I think Thaddeus Lewis did one heck of a job. I thought he would for the Bills in that overtime game, but he is hurting, so I guess they, out of pure desperation, go down that road. I don't see him. I didn't see him as a fit here. And Josh Freeman, I think there's just enough questions about Josh Freeman, enough questions about him away from the field and the way things are being handled by him. I just don't like what I'm hearing. I know Greg Schiano has done a lot there to upset folks in Tampa Bay, and maybe Greg Schiano is on a pretty short leash now as a head coach there. Maybe it's all going to come crashing down for him. But it's still – he's the issue with Josh Freeman, I think, had more to do with Freeman than it did with Schiano.
All right.
Fact or fiction?
The Greg Little experiment at kick returner needs to end.
I'm going to go with a fact there, because if you look at the last two games alone, three times he's taken the ball out from more than 5 yards deep in the end zone, and he's failed to get past the 16-yard line. So three times they've started their drives inside the 20. That's too many for me. I want a kick returner who's either going to take a knee or bring it out and get past the 20. So I would say that is a fact. Not to mention, Bobby Rainey's averaging more yards per return, 25 to 21. You got Fozzie Whitaker in here who could perhaps handle the role. So I would say that is a fact. I'd like Greg Little to spend all this time worrying on how he can become a better wide receiver, because that certainly seems to be more of a need right now for the Cleveland Browns.
Fact. I don't want my slowest receiver doing returns. It just doesn't add up. You don't put your slowest guy at a position that where speed is an important quality in the return game. A returner has to be able to bust something for you, and I don't see Greg Little doing that. I also don't necessarily trust his judgment when it comes to, and he's certainly given us more than ample proof to wonder about that and question that. What he did in that Buffalo game could have single-handedly just lost the Browns the game that night, putting them in such an early hole because of ill-advised work as a returner. Fozzie Whitaker's here. I don't know if he's going to make it that much better. I know the history, and I know he's got the speed. Nathan mentions Bobby Rainey, and Rainey's got some speed as well. I just want a faster guy, and I know there's a clamoring to make that guy Travis Benjamin, but I'm going to agree with where the coaches are with that, limiting him to the punt return game, where I think he could be much better working in a more open space, and limiting the amount of time that a smaller guy gets those direct hit collisions that do come from returns, which I think is part of the thinking to have a bigger, stronger guy like a Greg Little, more of that running back type body, if you will, returning kicks. But his lack of speed is a detriment there, and so is some of the decision making.
Fact or fiction?
Say hi to JJ. One more Browns-related question here on after further review. The Browns will ultimately win out in the Trent Richardson trade.
That is a fact. There is no question in my mind. The Browns have already won on that trade. You're seeing Trent Richardson be Trent Richardson in Indianapolis. Last night, if you're watching the game, had a huge drop, I would say, on a screen pass. Average 4 yards per carry, though, right on the dot, 10 carries, 40 yards. Still doesn't have more than 60 yards rushing in a game this year. He is not the right type of back for certainly this offense or for many offenses in the NFL to get a first-round pick for him. Let me ask you this, and let me say this, in fact. If this trade is trying to happen today and Trent Richardson has put up the numbers that he's put up in Cleveland and Indianapolis, there's no way they're getting a first-round pick for him right now.
The guy who I saw doing things at running back for the Colts was Donald Brown, making some things happen last night. Donald Brown, not Trent Richardson. It seemed like there was a lot of apologies being made or questions being asked. I saw a little bit of both in the broadcast along the lines of, you know, what is Trent Richardson all about? And are the Colts going to finally get their value for him? That was a call-out night for him. That was prime time. That was ESPN. And that came up in the discussion. I want to say it was Keyshawn Johnson or somebody who said, you know, this would be the time to start seeing why they gave up a first-round pick for him. They still don't have the answer to that. So I am complete fact on this, that the Browns they knew when this deal was made that this thing was going to work to their benefit, because Trent Richardson is what Trent Richardson is, a very limited guy when it comes to production, unless he has an extraordinary Alabama-esque line in front of him dominating the lines in front of them, and that's not going to happen in the NFL for the most part. He's not going to be a special player with the yards and the production. He's not in there on third down. They did have him at I don't know how many more looks he's going to get as a receiver when he dropped that pass.
That was set up. That was a big play.
It was a huge play. And if he catches that, you know, it might, of course, I know there was a penalty on that play as well, but after the drop. But he drops it, I thought he came up. This was his first, right.
It was a block.
I would have qualified as a legit block, I guess. The guy cleaned him out. But honestly, I'm looking at Trent and again, I don't want this to come off like you're rooting against the guy, because that you can easily get in that mindset. But I was in favor of making this deal when it was made. I saw the logic behind it when a lot of people screamed about it. So I guess you find yourself naturally saying, you see, this is how this is playing out. It's playing out the way we thought it would.
Well, it's even worse for Trent, really, because at least in Cleveland, he was utilized as a pass catcher repeatedly.
Yeah.
He's not being used as a pass catcher at all in Indy.
That's not
so
their offense.
He's being exposed as a runner. And I thought there was one play that was very telling. He actually made somebody miss and then did a jump cut.
Yeah,
and you watch LeSean McCoy do jump cuts, and he does his jump cut, and he never slows down, and he's accelerating. Trent Richardson literally came to a standstill.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally
jump, stop, starts.
He literally stopped moving.
Yeah,
it was pretty.
But it's not natural for him. That's not his style. No. He's been more in that power mode. I'm not sure what the Colts expect to get out of him. I'm pretty sure it's not what they've gotten so far. And I've heard this. I've heard, well, once he learns the offense a little better, and someone astutely brought up his third, right. I was just going to say this, but somebody astutely brought up third offensive system / coordinator, right, in his one and almost a half NFL seasons, that is a hurdle, an obstacle for the guy. I don't buy that. You're an instinctive running back. Running back position is about feel, is about knowing what you're supposed to do and get the ball in your hands and make things happen. I don't see it.
Yes, agreed.
Fact or fiction?
All right, to the NFL, guys. The Washington Redskins will have a new nickname by next season.
I'm going to say fiction. I know that there's a lot of political pressure here from different levels. And I know Commissioner Goodell has tried to keep the door open to listening to those concerns. But and Bob Costas gave a very compelling argument on Sunday Night Football, an editorial, and basically, again, calling it a slur. I guess what's bothering me about this is the years that went by, the many, many years, and this doesn't make anything right just because years went by without it being called out, but why back, you know, why for so many years didn't anyone see this or say this? And maybe, you know, maybe people didn't. I wasn't hearing them, but I like to consider myself a fairly, you know, someone who pays attention, attentive guy. I might not be smart, but I'm attentive. I try to listen. I try to look. I try to find out what's going on. I've been around this game for a long, long time. I've covered the league and that Redskins team on any number of occasions, and I never remember that being an issue. And I guess just now, as I remember not remember the Indians being an issue or Chief Wahoo or the whole thing here, because ultimately that door gets open, it closes for everything else, including the Indians, I would have to say. In all likelihood, it's going to. So Braves, I mean, we'll go down the line here, and that might be the right thing to do. I'm not sitting here saying don't do it because, you know, just stand tall with what you're doing. I'm just not optimistic that all of the pressure is, if that's what it is going to necessarily bring that down. I don't know
I agree with you. Listen, ultimately it's going to be up to Dan Snyder, and I don't think Dan Snyder is changing it anytime soon, so that's why I don't think it's going to happen next season.
Dan Snyder might be a lot of things. I don't think it's him taking this stance. Does that make him like a racist on this?
No.
Does that make, because I don't think so. No. I don't see that in him. He may be a lot of things that people don't love, but that's not one of them.
I'm part Chippewa. I'm not offended by it. I mean, okay, and if people are, I respect their right to be offended by that.
Yeah, of course, me too.
You know, just as a matter of...
what I'm saying. I don't want to be insensitive to that, but I didn't know there was a sensitivity to it after all these years.
What I would say is...
In all sports.
And not that the fact that it's there makes it okay, but for example, a team would not be named the Redskins today. If you were creating an expansion franchise,
right,
that wouldn't happen. So from that level, I understand. Well, if it's not okay today... Is it because it's been there? I just don't think that, you know, there's a lot of history with that organization. There are a lot of good feelings around that organization for a lot of people who have a lot of great memories with it. So it's a tough one. It's a tough one. I don't know. I'm not a huge, you know, political correctness maven.
And Dave.
So I don't know. It's a tough situation.
Dave, Miami of Ohio Red Hawks.
Yeah.
But they were.
They were the Redskins.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, the Eastern Michigan. They're the Eagles now. They used to be the Hurons, and we've seen, I mean, St. John's, they were the Red Men. Now they're the Red Storm.
Yeah,
so
Red
we've
Storm.
Seen some college teams certainly do that in the past.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's food for thought. That was a good one, Dave.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. We have got a conversation coming up with our own Gerard Cherry, making his regular appearance on this show on a Football Tuesday. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.